Father, I thank you, Lord, for all your children, wonderful children that you gathered us together, allowed us to gather together today for fellowship. We give you, Lord, the praise and glory. We want to thank you, Lord, for all that you do for us. Thank you because there's no condemnation anymore in Christ. We declare today that the entrance of God's word into our hearts will bring light and give us understanding. Let the name of the Lord be glorified. Give us utterance to declare the words of the Lord, the words of grace. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Let it be healing. Let it be soothing to everyone. Give you, Lord, the praise, the glory. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Well, thanks for joining us. Some part of this chapter is actually
good morning, sir. I'm not sure if it's just me, but you've been cutting out a little bit briefly.
Cutting out? Okay, well, let's see what's going on. Can you hear me now?
Yeah, I'm hearing you. Yep. Yeah. Right, it's just here and there. It will cut out, so just for your FYI.
Let's pray against that. Let me try to leave and come back and see what will happen. Okay, well, I left and came back, but it threw me in the audience. We'll see what happens. Can you guys hear me now?
Yes, sir.
Yes.
All right, well, we'll do the best we can with it. I pray that the Lord will give us the grace to get through today's room. Praise the Lord. All right, I'm going to leave that alone and just get to it. Praise the Lord. Romans chapter 8 and verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. Praise the Lord. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God, sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the Lord might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then, they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if you through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, then ye shall live. Praise the Lord. So you can see this section here is all I want to cover today. You can see how this section dovetails with Romans chapter 7. All of the stuff we talked about in Romans chapter 7, the struggles and this and that, the law of the Spirit in the mind, and, you know, and in the warrings of the flesh against that. But at the end of it, he asking, well, who should deliver me from this body of sin? I thank God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And he goes on now to say, well, if we choose, remember we talked about the choices that we make. Dishonor and so forth. But if any man will purge himself from the things that lead to dishonor, then he will become a vessel fit for the master's use. So, if we choose to walk after the flesh, then this text that we are reading here says we should die. If we choose to walk after the Spirit, then we shall live. The question still goes back to, well, maybe I'm struggling. Maybe I want to walk after the Spirit, but somehow I find that, you know, I'm drawn into the things of the flesh. Well, we cover that for 4 or 5 days. If you missed some of those discussions, you're going to have to go back and listen to that. There is the grace of God that is present for us through the Holy Spirit to help us. And if we don't let him help us, we're going to have to face him. When he's got the eyes of flame, you know, and he's got his eyes folded and his voice like thunders, and, you know, like that. We're going to have to deal with that. Why did you not let me help you with that? Well, we must allow the Lord to help us. Now, if we do allow him to help us, though, and if we come to the Lord, fall forward, we talked about, then there really is no condemnation. We talked about multiple things, you know, to encourage us to always come to the Lord. A good story that comes to mind, and I posted a previous message of, you know, on our Walking with God WhatsApp platform that you guys should listen to. Actually, two powerful messages I posted yesterday. In one of them, the story of the prodigal son. We know his story. You know, how that when he came to his senses, his wealth and riotous living and what have you, you know, until, you know, he began to be in want. But as this story went, one day he came to his senses. And to me, there's a couple, two different things that are most beautiful part of that story to me. The first being this man at some point at his lowest ebb, he came to his senses. And what did he come to? It wasn't that he's going to go jump off the cliff, or he's going to take his life, or he's going to do some other thing like that, or just continue to wallow in sin. He said, I must make a return to my father. That's right. That's falling forward. I mean, he's down and out. Where else can he go? But the can you hear me still?
Yes, Pastor Yago.
Okay, I've got my wife's phone here now, so let me turn this one off and see. If you can hear me.
We can't hear you now, Pastor Yato, if you are speaking.
Can you hear me now? Okay. I'm going to put the second phone away, come back to my phone here. Can you hear me on my phone?
Yeah, we can. I think it was good on Mommy Ebon's phone, too, though. It was better.
What was that?
Phone. I think it's better on Mommy Ebon's phone.
All right. Let me try that. Okay. I'm on her phone now. Let's see if she can still hear me.
Yeah, we're hearing you. Yep.
All right. Well, we're going to do this lesson one way or another. Yeah, it's an important lesson, and despite all the distractions, we will still do it. So, what I was saying was that it is important to always, fall forward rather than falling backwards into sin. And the man, the young man, that's exactly what he did. And when he decided to get up and go to his father, he determined in his heart that he was going to go and try to make reconciliation and ask for forgiveness. But the second most interesting part of the story to me was that the father never gave up on him. And the father had always been on the lookout. Could have even actually, tried to send people to look for him and so on and so forth. But we see that the day he was coming, the father was the first to see him from afar off, because he was always looking up, always in his heart of that father, knowing that his son would come back and never gave up on him. And when he saw him afar off, he ran to him, did not even walk, did not even wait for him to, come to him. The father ran to him and fell on his neck and embraced him. Of course, the son was absolutely surprised, didn't know what to expect, and began to, say, "I'm sorry, I've done all this evil before heaven and before." Rejoice about this. My son is back. Are you okay? My son is back. My son is back. Praise the Lord. And of course, he ordered celebrations. And it's interesting to note that he did not even dwell on any of that. And all he wanted to do was rejoice that his son was back. So that's the element of no condemnation from the heart of the father. And it's a good lesson for us to learn even as parents and as, helpers together of one another's faith. when someone comes back or tries to come back from wandering away in the land of sin or from their struggles, we need to encourage them and receive them in with open arms. If we don't, and if we were to just shrug them off or even despise them, we could do more harm than good. For the Lord, there's usually and always, I should actually say, not usually, there's always no condemnation when someone comes to Him truly in faith and in repentance. The only ones that Jesus were critical about were the Pharisees because of their hypocrisy. And, you know, the ones that thought they were righteous within themselves and despised others. So the only ones that Jesus was critical about. But for the real sinner and the true sinners who had a heart of remorse and was struggling with sin, Jesus never had condemnation. He always extended grace. Grace to the woman that was caught in the middle of adultery. Everybody else condemned her. Jesus didn't. Where are your accusers? Are there none that condemn you? Has any man condemned you? The Lord said. He said, no man, Lord. And Jesus said, well, neither do I condemn you. You go, but you sin no more. Go thy way and sin no more. You know, that's the kind of grace that Jesus offers. No condemnation. However, the instruction always follows. Just because He, you know, justifies you or absolves you of the situation doesn't grant us the grace to continue in it. He always commands, go and sin no more. That's it. If He says that, then that means it's actually possible to sin no more. I mean, Jesus wouldn't say it if it wasn't possible. You know, once you come to the Lord, He gives you grace. You know, He justifies you. He also gives you grace forward. You know, there is grace to cover backward, and then there is grace to go forward. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ brings us salvation to redeem us from dead works and all the things we've done in the past. But the same grace goes forward with us, teaching us to sin no more. And that's it. And, you know, so these two things go hand in hand. The no condemnation, the riches of the grace of God leadeth us to repentance, to a 180, and to a life of righteousness. If we say we are struggling, and always struggling, and God always giving us the grace and helping us through the situation, but we always return, and we're making no effort in ourselves, that's not the place that God wants us to be. Listen to this in Titus chapter 2, verse 11. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation has appeared to all men. This is the same grace that saved us while we were in sin. This same grace now teaches us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Now, anybody who continues to live in sin will probably not be looking for that blessed hope. Jesus is the one that gave Himself for us, the scripture says. Why? That He might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto Himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. And so that's where the grace of God that brings us no condemnation, that's where it leads us to. And this is the opening of Romans chapter 8. But let's see how he qualifies it. You know, it's not just flat out no condemnation and that's the end of it. Well, he qualifies it to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. If you continue to walk in the flesh, your own mind and spirit will condemn you. It's grace for us to, you know, get help from the Lord. There are two things going on, as we read in Romans chapter 7. He talks about it here also. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus is there in our hearts, you know, come to the Lord. But the law of sin is still, you know, head, as people say. But we know that the law, which was given to amplify sin, you know, it could not really redeem anybody from the nature of sin. All it did was, you know, point out that sin was exceeding sinful and that we need a savior. But the law itself could not bring redemption to anyone. It was weak, we're told, through the flesh. And in that God saw that he was weak and couldn't do it, he sent his own son, the likeness of the same sinful flesh, to show us that it can be done. I mean, Jesus came in this same form of flesh. He was born as a baby, helpless at first. God had to protect and save his life through dreams that he gave to Joseph to carry the mother and run, flee for their lives into Egypt. Of course, there was a prophecy to be fulfilled with that. You know, out of Egypt have I called my son. That, you know, that was necessary for God to do that. However, we see how helpless Christ was as a baby. You know, couldn't protect himself. You know, God was helping him. His destiny was to be the savior of the world, and God had to raise up destiny helpers while some would-be destiny destroyers were after his life. And the Lord said, you stay there until I bring you word again. And so he went through all of that, just like every one of us. He came in that same flesh, yet without sin. So it is actually possible. If it were not possible, Jesus wouldn't say that we should be perfect as our Heavenly Father is perfect. If our Heavenly Father is perfect and he is without sin, and Jesus is asking us, commanding us, instructing us to be perfect, then that means we can actually live that kind of life. However, as we have discussed over the last 4 days or so, sometimes we do struggle or find ourselves in situations that are unsavory to the Spirit of God. What do we do then? Well, we must fall forward into the arms of the Lord. There's no condemnation. The Holy Spirit will never condemn anyone. He will convict you. That's what Jesus said. You know, the Spirit will convict. And when he brings you to the cross or when he shows you the areas in your life that are, you know, needing correction, he can bring reproof. He can bring instruction in righteousness through the word of God. He can bring rebuke. So as many as I love, I chasten and rebuke. He can do all of that. But it is to bring us to the cross. It is to show us, you know, what he wants us to turn over to him for help, for correction. It is not for condemnation. Condemnation says you're done. You know, there's no hope. Well, conviction says, well, you don't need to be like this. You can be better than this. God can make you better than this. Come to Christ. and get this aspect corrected in your life so you can be a better person. The no condemnation grace that we receive of God is actually to help us become a better version of ourselves. It's not just to, you know, make us remain in sin. We need to be a better version of ourselves. Now, the fact that God did not throw us away when we were messed up, as we saw in the story of Jeremiah chapter 18, the Lord told him, go down to the potter's house and I'll show you the word of the Lord when you get there. Trying to craft or create, you know, every artist and every designer, they have that. They know what they're trying to make. He knew what he was trying to make, but the thing was not turning out the way he wanted. The Bible says the clay was made away. No. The scripture says he made it again. That's a beautiful, beautiful part. If he were to condemn clay was marred or messed up in the hand of the potter. So he made it again, the same lump. Made it again. He didn't throw it away and get a new lump. He made the same vessel again into another vessel, even as it pleased him. But he could have thrown away that lump and, you know, start over. Well, you know, the Lord did not throw us away. He brought redemption. At one time, he actually said, I'm done with these folks. And he sent turned unto him and he saw and he knew that, you know, these people, yeah, they're always going to struggle. I'm not going to do that anymore. But he cleaned out a lot. And in his mind, he already made provision because the lamb was slain before the war began. So when it was time for Christ to come, this time around, he's not destroying the whole world. He said, I came not to destroy or to judge, but to save. So this time around, he's coming and he's going to save us. Even from ourselves. It's going to save us from the sin nature. And that's what he does. And it's a beautiful thing to know that we can freely come to him. You know. And if somebody were to come back in the message of don't leave them wounded like that. Or leave me wounded like that. People crying out. Come to us for, you know, for grace. But we stomp them down. I mean, what good really would that do for anyone? We saw the story in Luke 10 of the so-called Good Samaritan story. But the element that relates to this point here were the Levite and the priest that had no compassion, no empathy at all for the man that had fallen into the hands of thieves. And they left him wounded like that. You know, and they just left him wounded like that. And it's a great lesson for us to not leave people wounded like that. And sometimes people are crying out, and sometimes they can't even cry out. This man that was wounded, left half dead by the thieves, he could not even cry out for help. He was dying, you know, but he needed help. And those religious folks that should have helped him, they came along, but they left. Several elements in that story. Jericho, Jerusalem, the man, the thieves, you know, the priest, the Levite. Jerusalem, of course, being the house of God, Jericho being Sin City, this man went from Jerusalem toward Jericho. He never made it to Jericho, but he left the house of God to go in the way of the world. It's the way you can see it. Because Jericho was Sin City in those days. Jerusalem was the house of the Lord. And on his way, he got into a lot of trouble. And, you know, and the religious folks came along and said, well, you had no business trying to go down to Jericho. You should have stayed in the house of the Lord. Isn't that exactly what we do today? Condemn those who went in the way of error. And then when they come back, what do? Stomp them down even more. Whereas in Isaiah chapter 42 and verse 3, here's what it says about the Lord. A bruised reed, he said. In other words, the thing is hanging on a thread, already ready to break. He's not going to break it, you know. A bruised reed shall he not break. And the smoking flax, you know, something that's already fizzling out, about to die, he's not going to quench it, but he's going to revive it. That's what he does. But what do we do with our judgmental spirits today in our churches, religious leaders, even we as individuals, how we judge others who may have fallen from grace or struggling? It's always the condemnation spirit. But that's not from Jesus. We need to look through the heart of the Father. The Father is always waiting. This for the same reason, you know, that people think that the Lord delayeth in his judgment. It's for the same reason. Always holding out. You know, waiting for people, giving them an opportunity to repent. And if they do repent, receive them back. Loving arms. The only people that are going to be lost are people that don't come to Christ. That's it. If they don't come to Christ, they are lost. And they will be lost. But if they come to Christ, no matter what they've done, no matter where they've been, look at the thief on the cross. He himself knew with his own mouth and admitted that he'd done all those things and he was worthy of death. And he had been judged, found guilty of death, sentenced to death, and crucified on the cross. Was dying, bleeding out on the cross. You know, so there was no argument that he was guilty. Himself knew he was guilty. You know, but with his last breath, he reached out, called upon the Lord. And you saw the end of that story. You know, redemption in that moment when it seemed that it was far too late. You know, that's what the Lord does. And so we got to think about that. You know, and I told this story. Some of you may not have listened to that sermon that I posted. I told this story many years ago. And, you know, I always used to be a dog lover. Still do, but don't have the time or patience anymore to deal with that. So some years ago, many years ago, I was trying to do dog training and so forth. So I bought some tapes and different things. You know, I was trying to learn how to do that. And in one of those lessons, I was showing how to deal with your dog when he goes off, runs off the house and eventually comes back, how to deal with it. And, unknown to me, the way I would deal with the dog when he runs off and comes back was exactly opposite to what the dog training lessons were teaching. When the dog came back, I would yell at the dog, smack him around, say, bad dog! You know, and so on. But in the mind of the dog, when you did that, it was going to yell at your dog. Don't yell at him when he comes back after running off. Go after him if you want to. Yell at him when he's out there. But when he comes back, love on him. And then he'll see the difference. Like, oh my goodness, they were yelling at me when I was out there. Now they're loving me and giving me treats when I'm in the house. And he's going to figure out that this is the place I want to be. And I learned that lesson. And I'm like, oh my goodness, you know. And we who are parents, many of us, especially African parents, are guilty of this thing. And many parents are not just African. You know, we yell at our kids when they do wrong. And even when they're trying to be right, we still yell at them some more. And what kind of lesson does that send? You know, when somebody returns, I mean, if the prodigal son had returned, the man slapped him around. You know, why did you go out there and mess up all the stuff I gave you? Look at you. And so on and so forth. And just said all kinds of things to him. Well, that would not be the story that we are telling today. But instead, just loved on him and showed him that this is the place where you find love. This is where you want to be. Out there, all you have is trouble. And that's a big difference. You can always come home. Praise the Lord. You can always come home. And that's it with the Lord. There's no condemnation. We're condemned only because we don't believe and we don't come to the Lord. You know, John chapter 3 verse 18 even talks about the process of salvation. When people receive the message of hope through our Lord Jesus Christ, but they reject it. Well, the Bible says they're condemned because they reject it. You know, and that's in John 3:18. He did I believe on him, they're not condemned, but did I reject him, they're condemned already. Because they have not received the grace that God offered. So that's the only condemnation, is when we reject him. But the as long as we that will say, well, you know, I've always been, you know, straight as an arrow. I never did anything wrong. You know, I've been holy from day one. You know, I love the Lord with all my heart. I was never in sin. I never did anything like anybody else. You know, I'm all clean and white and so on. You know, nobody can say that. Well, why then do we not extend grace? That's a story Jesus told in Matthew chapter 18. He told it in the form of forgiveness, but I want to tell it in the form of extending grace. The servant that was called to give reckoning owed his master 10,000 talents. That's a lot of money, you know. And when he could you know, and then he grabbed him by the neck, had him arrested, threw him in prison, or he should pay all. How in the world is the man going to pay? When he was free to work and earn a living, he couldn't pay. Now you throw him in prison where he can't work and earn any living. How in the world is he going to pay? So the man's going to rot in prison forever. People heard of it. You know, everybody was distressed. They told the master. The master called the guy, said, thou wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt because thou desirest of me to do so. Shouldn't then thou have had compassion and mercy on your fellow servants even after I had on you? And right away, the master rescinded the grace that he had given to this man. He said, well, you know, throw him into maximum security prison. And torment us, let him do hard labor and everything until he can pay. And he's not going to be able to pay because he himself did not extend grace. You know, so when we receive grace, you know, and is the gift of God. It's not of works, lest any man should boast. And is perfect. There is no condemnation in Christ. Those of us who are in Christ should not be condemning others, whether they are in Christ or outside Christ. Jesus didn't condemn us. He gave us a second chance. And so we ought to offer second chances to others. God is always God of second chances. He always allows people. In fact, giving us multiple chances, many of us. Today, many of you can testify to the fact that you grieve the Holy Spirit multiple times. Yet, you know, he gives the opportunity to make it right. You know, there was a story one time, you know, that you all know this story. You know, Peter was a man that boasted himself that no matter what everybody else did, that he would never, you know, deny the Lord. That's what he thought. So in John chapter 21, after all that, you know the story of how he denied the Lord and everything. But he did, you know, he did repent and ask the Lord forgiveness. So the Lord comes to him in John chapter 21 and says, Simon Peter, I'll never do it. The Lord told him, you will too. He said, no, I'll never do it. So the Lord left him alone. And he did it. I'm going to ask him three times. You remember? Peter denied the Lord three times. So the Lord is going to ask him three times. Same three times. Simon, son of Jonas, you actually love me more than this? And I'm thinking probably the same amount of time. Is a God of multiple chances. Comes to him the third time. Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Now, this time around, this man is thoroughly grieved because, you know, he remembered, denied the Lord three times. You know, and the Lord said, well, feed my sheep. And then he told him, look, when you were younger, you did these things and so forth. You did whatever you thought you could and all of that. He told him some things. He didn't understand it then, but later on, he figured out that he was going to have to give up his life for the Christ in his service of the Lord. And he told him, well, follow me. See, now, he's not going to tell him that, well, you stumbled around last time, even though he asked any question, do you love me? Okay, fine. Well, here's your commission. The question is, what are you going to do next? Are you going to do what I'm asking you to do, which is feed my lambs or feed my sheep? It's not going to, you know, bring it up again. Remember, you denied me and so forth, even though he did. And Jesus gave him three opportunities here. But he didn't even mention it. He just asked him the questions. And at the end, he said, well, follow me. You know, so, see, the Lord received him back, gave him an opportunity. And look at what Peter became. Mighty man of God. Once he received the Holy Ghost, he stood up on the day of Pentecost, preached powerful, convicting, you know, and, he, you know, indicting the generation. Thousands, 3,000 souls were saved in one day. Powerful Peter. after this, you know, and so on. But, you know, himself struggled still with other things. You know, dissimulation, pretending, you know, when the Jews came around, getting away quickly from Gentiles and all of that. So, but you see how the Lord, no condemnation, just so kind, you know, in every case. Let's think about it. Examine your own life today and see how the grace of God has been with you. No condemnation. You know, I can tell you, you know, that the Lord doesn't always pick the most qualified people, you know, like me, you know, but hey, you know, Paul said, by the grace of God, I am what I am. Well, who am I? Well, I am whatever God says I am, you know, so by the grace of God today, you know, by his grace, I stand. And that's why the scriptures say, look, who art thou that judgest another man's servant, you know, to his master, he standeth or falleth. Don't worry about it. It's not your problem. You know, if judge this rather, he said, that you do not put a stumbling block, you know, like, you know, condemnation. Condemnation can be a stumbling block. If you are, if they're condemned, they feel that they have no place to return. They come to the church. The church slaps them around, you know, or they come back, I should say, to the church, you know, and the church crucifies them again, makes them the talk of the sermon and everything. And then they feel that they don't belong. That's a stumbling block, you know, and then they go out back into the world because the church would not receive them. And that's a stumbling block, you know. But judge this rather, you know, that we do not put a stumbling block before any of our brothers. Romans chapter 14 verse 4 says, who art thou that judgest another man's servant? To his master he standeth or falleth. Don't worry about it. It's not your concern. But God will hold him up. God is able to make him stand. See, that's a powerful verse. You know, you think he's falling, but God's able to make him stand. Praise God. All he needs to do is reach out. Peter, when he was sinking, you know, Jesus said, come, and he came. And he was coming, but he took his eyes off the Lord and started to consider the boisterous waves. Then he began to sink. See, but Peter knew how to fall forward. Help me, Lord, he cried. Lord, save me. That's falling forward. And the Lord picked him up and saved him. See, so many examples in scriptures, you know, some are physical things, some are spiritual things, but it's all in the Bible. How we must fall forward. And there is no condemnation. And Jesus gently rebuked him. Said, why did thou doubt? But he saved him first. Praise the Lord. And the Lord always, you know, saves the situation first. He might rebuke them, you know, like when they cried unto him for when they were experiencing the storm in the boat and all of that. When Jesus got up, he rebuked the boat, the storm. He also rebuked them. You know, you should have believed. You know, but he'll take care of the situation. He's not just going to, you know, condemn you and leave you, you know, to perish. And he saved them. But he instructed them that, look, you can take care of this situation if you only believed. And so we must inherit this nature of no condemnation to extend grace to others. We've received the same for ourselves. We must extend it to others. That's the lesson I want to hammer on today because it's really part of chapter 7. And, you know, I remember even when I first came to this all over the place. I'm like, what in the world is going on? What kind of world are we living in when people feel that they don't belong in the church? You know, what kind of world is that? Well, you know, The church needs to open its arms, not just its doors. Open the arms. The person that did what he should never have done, or would he extend them grace? The father of the prodigal son that was waiting, did he slap him around when he came and say, you should never have done that? Was that what he did? No. He was, instead, he actually received him and jubilated that his son was back. And it is important for us to notice that, you know, some stories that Jesus told, some of them were actually real life occurrences, you know, because in this case, he just said a certain man had two sons. It wasn't exactly a parable. It was something that happened. He told it. And so it represented also how your son who has squandered all your living among harlots, he's the one that you are now receiving with hold in open arms. I mean, look at me. I've always kept your laws. I've always done everything you wanted. I've always tried to please you. I've never done anything wrong. I mean, all day, every day, year after year, I've been here. You've never given me even one of the little calves to go make merry with my friends. But now this your son that has squandered your living among harlots, he comes back and now you receive him with open arms. See, that's exactly how the church behaves. The older brother, self-righteous, you know, we're all good and whatever. And we couldn't care, you know, to offer empathy or compassion to those that are returning from the way of sin. We think less of them, that they don't belong. We are the ones. They should not have been received back. You know, it's what the older brother thought. The father tried to straighten him out, said, no, he's not just my son, he's your brother. this older brother even disowned his own brother. He wouldn't accept that he was his brother. He called him your son. It's your son. The man said, no, it's your brother. That's right. You know, so, but he wouldn't have any part of it. He would not celebrate the return of his brother because he was all stuck up in his self-righteousness that this, you know, I've been all good. This man did nothing for me. And look at this one that returned. Why is he celebrating him? You know, and the church is like that many times. And it's not just the religious leaders in the church that are like that. It's everybody. You know, sometimes we blame our leaders, but you have, what is your own attitude to somebody that you know fell into sin and did something that they should not have done? You know, what's your own attitude? So we may all be guilty of these things, but Jesus offers no condemnation. He, however, stresses, go and sin no more. We cannot leave that part. You know, people try to cover up the there's no condemnation and then make it a license to go back. No. Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? You know, we covered that in earlier chapters of Romans. No, God forbid. How shall we that are made free from sin live in sin anymore? Yeah, so the concept, you know, that there may be struggle does not give us license to resign to a life of sin. Come unto me, and I will help you, Jesus says. And we need to receive that help. But to make it a comprehensive study, we've covered all of these sides of this story. And today, we extend the story to no condemnation. If you're struggling with anything, wherever you've been, wherever you are now, whether the devil made you do it, whether you did it yourself, whether it was poor choices, no matter where you are or how you got there, come unto me, Jesus said. Hallelujah. You know, you can come. Just come as you are. And if you don't come, well, you got yourself to blame. Because Jesus says, come. You know, just come. Unrighteousness. He has the power and the ability to give us, you know, not only justification, instant justification, but the power to live a the Lord is not happy when we do that. And we need to stay with the Lord. Not one day, one leg here, and the next leg, and the next day, another leg there. That's not going to work. You know, the Lord wants us to stay solid in Him. You say, well, but I can't do it because I'm struggling. Well, you come to the Lord and He can help you. You know, we've covered that. You know, enough in the last 4 days. The Lord says, you know, He wants us, He wants to make us a pillar in the house of God, that we will not be going in and out and so forth, but He wants you to be solid in Him. Revelation chapter 3 and verse 12. I will make you a pillar in the house of God. And you know, you will go no more out, in and out, and so forth. No. Establish you. Praise the Lord. And that's what the Lord wants. And He offers the grace to every one of us that's in this room today. And many times, some of us feel unworthy. And the Lord called you, put the grace on you to do something. The devil tells you, you're not worthy. You can't do that. Look at what you've been. Look at where you've been. Look at what you've done. Well, you know, all you have to look at is... And this is not a license for, you know, a life of sin, but just look at all the people that Jesus called, or God called in the scriptures. They were not always the best. You know, many of them were opposite of what we would think. I mean, Saul of Tarsus, a prime example. You know, he was killing the believers, hurling them to be killed, and doing all these things. And you would think that, I mean, you could call him a terrorist. That's what he was. He was a terrorist. I mean, he was getting letters and terrorizing the believers, chasing them from city to city, hauling them to prison, you know, standing by when they were getting killed and doing all these things. And so he was a terrorist. Yeah, but Jesus chose him. Advocate for, you know, justice. He didn't like it to see injustice. You know, he had that kind of thing going inside of him. But still, he was a murderer. God called him, and God didn't even talk about that. You know, so many other people throughout the scriptures. You know, even the one that denied Christ 3 times. You know, he was the very one that Jesus turned around and said, feed my lambs. You know. And it was the very one that Jesus entrusted with the role of converting and helping others. When thou art converted, help your brethren likewise. You know, so there's hope. You know, if the devil tells you there's no hope for you, make you look at yourself as though you are not qualified, can't do what the Lord's calling you to do. Well, those are the devil's lies. Jesus doesn't need you to be qualified before He calls you. When He calls you, we were all righteous and we were all holy and He was all the power, you know, then we would be us that did it by ourselves, you know. But the scripture says, you know, let not the mighty glory in his might, or, you know, this and that glory in themselves. Jeremiah chapter 9, verse 23. Thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might, nor the rich man in his riches. You know, so we didn't do it by our power, but let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me, that I am the Lord, I exercise loving kindness, judgment, righteousness, and all these things do I delight. And I say mercy and compassion and no condemnation and grace. In these things do I delight, saith the Lord. Here, I want to pray for everyone that's in the room today, and I want you to also pray for yourself. Let's examine ourselves and let's see if there is a heart of self-righteousness in us, like the man in Luke chapter 18, who thought within himself that he was self-righteous and despised others. And Jesus told that parable because of that. You know, so we've received grace. You know, we need to also extend the same grace to others. And look at your life today. Could you be where you were without the grace of God? And if it's the same, if this is the grace of God that brought you out of darkness, put you into the marvelous light of our Lord Jesus Christ and his kingdom, well then let's extend the same grace to others. And anybody that's in this room today or listening later on, if you share, you should share these messages. And if you share it and people are still struggling with condemnation, well, that's the work of the devil. Neither do I condemn you, saith. The Lord said, I will give you rest. Praise the Lord. Father, we want to thank you and just appreciate and love you, Lord, this morning, for the grace that brought salvation to us. Hallelujah. When we were undeserving, when we were condemned by the law, the grace, the spirit of grace and life through Jesus Christ brought us redemption. Glory to God. And now, clean before our Lord, we stand. Hallelujah. And Jesus said, the Son shall make you free, then you are free indeed. Whosoever the Son of Man shall set free, you're free, and we should not be entangled again, you know, with all these yokes. And we should set ourselves free. Under the words of Isaiah 52 and verse 2, it says, shake thyself from the dust and loose thyself from the bands around your neck. The bands of condemnation that the devil I have called thee. You have not chosen me. I chose you. You know, the Lord knew all about you, but yet he chose you. Praise God. You know, he knew all about you, but yet he chose you. Thank you, Jesus. If people knew, you know, anything about you that was right, they wouldn't even company with you, let alone choose you. But yet, you're the one that Jesus chose. Despite all that he knows about you, shouldn't we love him and praise him and worship him for that? Lord, we thank you. I want everybody just worship and praise the Lord. Go ahead. I prayed in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.